Welcome to episode 101 of the Fredcast Cycling Podcast for Wednesday, August 13th, 2008. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. On this episode of the Fredcast, well, something just a little bit different. The Tour of Utah is here, and we're going to be bringing you a special perspective on this stage race here in the heart of Utah. Also included in today's show, a number of interviews from the recently concluded Outdoor Retailer Summer Market trade show. So sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, well, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. This week's episode of the Fredcast is brought to you by listeners just like you. You know, there's listeners just like you who are sending in PayPal donations and just plain clicking on the advertising links at www.thefredcast.com, going to stores you would go to anyway, getting the same prices you would normally get, but supporting the Fredcast. Thanks so much for your donations and your support. It's greatly appreciated. Welcome back to the Fredcast, and I know, you know, there's probably some of you out there, although I hope not a lot, who don't subscribe to every one of my podcasts. My main podcast, of course, the Fredcast, but also I do the Spokesman Cycling Roundtable podcast, and especially in July, the Daily Tour podcast, which is a summary of what's going on day-to-day in the Tour de France. 20, count them, 20 episodes of podcasts produced in the month of July. And quite honestly, that left me with just a little bit of catching up to do, both with the family and the day job and, you know, just getting out on my bike and training, because as many of you will remember, I've got a little trip coming up in just over a week where I am headed off to France to tackle the French Alps and some of the major Tour de France climbs with listeners and others who are going to be joining us on that trip. We are doing Col du Télégraphe, Col du Galibier, Col de la Coiffure, and of course, the Alpe d'Huez. I've been looking over the route maps and looking at the profiles and getting just a little bit concerned about whether or not I am in shape, whether or not my legs can handle it. Now, Richard Wharton, my coach over at onlinebikecoach.com, he tells me that I'm ready, and I've been using a lot of different tools to get ready for the trip. Power meters. I've been using WKO Plus, the training software from Cycling Peaks and Training Peaks. I've been using, of course, onlinebikecoach.com and the expertise of Coach Rich Wharton. And quite honestly, I've been also using a lot of you, because a lot of you have been following my Twitter feed and following some of the things that I've been saying about whether or not I need a compact drive on the front or whether I don't. And we'll be talking about that over the next couple of days, exactly what I'm going to be bringing with me to France and exactly how my bike is going to be outfitted. And for those of you who are regular subscribers to the Fredcast, I am going to be podcasting from France. Now, it's going to be a little bit different because I'm planning on doing video podcasting. I've been sponsored by a company called Bonica, B-O-N-I-C-A. You can find them online at www.bonica.com. Now, I'm a scuba diver in addition to being a cyclist, or at least I used to be, and I certainly know the name Bonica, and they have graciously sponsored the show with an HD, compact HD video camera that I will be bringing with me to document the trip. The plan is to do, well, probably 5 video podcasts from the French Alps. And whether or not I get those done every single day in the Alps will depend on the number of feet that I've climbed and the number of meters that I've ridden. I know that we've got one day I was just looking at the profile and the distance and 10,000 feet of climbing in one day. I'm not sure I will have the energy to be able to stay up late and do a video podcast that day. But I will get them all out just to give you a taste of what it's like from a recreational rider's perspective to ride some of the most famous routes in the world. So that's going to be coming up in just about a week and a half. I leave for France on August the 22nd, and the trip with the riding begins just a couple of days later. More on that over the next couple of days. But first, it is time for the tour of Utah here in my home state, or my adopted home state. And what I thought I would do is try to bring you a different perspective on a multi-day stage race from some of the perspectives that maybe you get on TV, in your newspaper, or even here on the Fredcast or on my companion show, the Daily Tour podcast, in the past. What I have done is I have reached out to a friend and a fan of the show, a good friend of the show, Noreen Godfrey, and she is the team manager for what's really known as a development team, but they have an invite to be here at the Tour of Utah. And I thought it would be really interesting for you to get a sort of different perspective than one that you might get if you were to follow a multi-million dollar internationally known pro tour team. So what I did was I had a chance to talk to Noreen yesterday as she was preparing the guys' bikes and all of their materials for today's stage one of the Tour of Utah. And here is what Noreen and I discussed. A little bit of background about the team and a little bit of insight into what it's like to be part of a development team. I am talking to Noreen Godfrey, and that's probably a name you've heard here before on the Fredcast, because Noreen has called in and written in, and we've shared some anecdotes that she's given us in the past, and Noreen is here in Park City, Utah for this year's Larry H. Miller Tour of Utah. And Noreen, you are a team manager, and tell me what the new name of your team is.
We just signed on with Land Rover, so we are now known as Land Rover or BEA, benefiting the Lance Armstrong Foundation.
Now, that's a mouthful, but it means a lot. Now, prior to this, you were Team Rubicon, correct?
Yes, correct.
And how long has the team, by whatever name, been around?
The team's been around 6 years.
And was it something that you started or that you came on at some point over the 6 years?
It's something I started in tribute as a payback to Lance Armstrong himself for donating a jersey that had the words "Fight Mom, Lance Armstrong" when my mom was diagnosed with lung cancer. This is my way of giving back to him as paying it forward by running a team that races for the Lance Armstrong Foundation, raising funds for them and developing young lifters.
Wow, that's really amazing. And one of the things that I've seen in following your team over the last couple of years is that not only do your racers go out and pound the pavement, but when you roll into a particular town, maybe you're off to do an event, you do some other special stuff as well. Tell me about that.
We opt to go into a children's hospital and hang out with the kids. We take them wristbands and stickers. We visit them from room to room, and this year in Park City, we went to the primary care hospital 2 days ago, and we played with them in their playroom. We got smoked at foosball, but, you know, hey, we tried.
So you were at Primary Children's in Salt Lake City, and that is definitely one of the preeminent medical centers here in Utah. And I'm curious, because I've seen the photos from all of the hospital visits that your racers do. And I'm curious what the kids' reaction is because, I mean, my kids, for them, cycling is sort of an everyday thing. They hear about it nonstop in my house. But in a lot of people's houses, it's baseball and football and soccer. What's the reaction of the kids when the racers come in?
Well, at first they're a little shy. But then they start to open up when the racers start to talk because our riders aren't all from the U.S. We have accents from New Zealand, from Australia, and from Canada. And so they really love listening to the riders. And then they open up and they start to share what color their bike is. And so it's really interactive. And they like to, we take a bike with us. And they like to play with the carbon wheels and spin them and stuff like that.
Wow. That's, you know, it's not very often that a lot of high-end professional teams will go out there and do something like that. So you really are paying Lance back for really the favor that he did for you. That's fantastic. Now, tell me about your new sponsors. So Land Rover and Orbea. And for those of you who may remember, a couple of years ago, I had some great access at Interbike with the folks from Orbea. And that was thanks to Noreen and David as well. But tell me a little bit about your sponsors and how that came about.
We've been working with Orbea for about 5 years now, and they're our primary sponsor, and we're really good friends with them. And we started talking to Land Rover. They came on board, and Land Rover and Orbea want to partner with each other and go to events together and take the team along. And so it's a really good win-win situation for everybody.
That's great. And tell me a little bit about the team, about the racers that are on the team. Where do they come from? What are their strengths? How long have they been together?
Our team usually has a turnover every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So this year we have a whole new crew, and they're coming around, which is really good because we lost two riders last year. Aaron Tuckerman moved up. He went to Jelly Belly. And Kirk Carlson moved up to Garmin Chipotle, which is really cool.
So before you go on, characterize your team for me, if you would, because you said they moved up to Jelly Belly and moved up to Garmin Chipotle. Where does your team, where does Land Rover Orbea fit in among the pro peloton?
We are the development squad. We take these young guys off of club teams and put them together and get them to learn how to function as a team, something they haven't usually done before. Teach them how to use radios, teach them how to do team tactics, teach them how to work together, and so when they're ready, they can move up to the pro level. So we're the intermediate team that teaches them how to function like a team and teaches them how to think together, and that's our job.
So not quite amateurs and not quite pros.
Perfect. Exactly.
So these guys all have day jobs?
No.
How does that work for them?
Our international riders are not allowed to work in the U.S. They have a 6-month holiday visa.
Okay.
And so they come over and they live in my basement for 6 months. And my husband and I, we treat them just like kids, just like our kids. Feed them just like you would feed your kids.
Wait, do I have to feed my kids?
Oh, I hope so.
Oops, did I remember? Oh, wait. Yeah, we had dinner tonight. Sorry. So that's something that you know, when we were talking on the phone the other day, you were calling yourself really the team mom. So these guys literally live with you during the racing season. They become like your kid brothers or your kids. But beyond that, because of the level of team that you are, tell me about all the hats that you wear that you were telling me about the other night.
Oh my God. I'm team mom, team medic, team director, team hard person when they're out of line. I wear many, many hats, from telling them what to do in the race to telling them, asking them where they're going at night, please be safe, you know, did you wash your bike, did you brush your teeth, everything.
And so during a race, for instance, so we're getting ready for the Tour of Utah, you are travel agent, you are a team car driver, you're mechanic, you're washing bikes, you're preparing meals. I mean, you're doing all of that, right?
Just me, team of one.
Wow.
So I'm the direct mechanic on air.
So one of the questions that I had for you was, you know, from for instance, going around at the Tour of Utah or watching the Tour de France, you see these huge teams. They come into a feed zone and they've got all these soigneurs and they're all out there and they're handing out the musettes to the guys as they ride by. How does it work with a team like yours? Because you're driving the support car, so you've got all the wheels and the bikes and all the equipment in the car. Who's out there handing out the food to the guys when they go through the feed zone?
Oh, we rely so heavily on the neutral support. The team or the racers come out, the event organizers have neutral support out here, and they hand out water bottles of water and stuff, and I ask my guys to grab the waters, and then I will feed them with heat and electric light replacements and things like that. So I rely on the race supporters, and the Tour of Utah has huge support here, and I'm so grateful.
Wow. Wow, amazing. All right, so we're getting ready for the tour of Utah. What we're going to do is we're going to talk to you every day and hear how the guys have been doing, how the team's been doing, how you're holding up, Team Mom, and hopefully give people a new perspective on what it's like to be out there during the race. And then, of course, I'm going to ride along in the team car with you for at least one of the days this week. So we will get back to you. Noreen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Awesome. Talk Great. To you later.
Thanks. So that was my conversation yesterday with Noreen as she, like a good team mom, was getting everything ready for the guys for today's stage one of the Tour of Utah. Well, as promised, we did talk to Noreen again this evening after the conclusion of today's stage one, and here was her report on how Team Land Rover Orbea fared in today's race. Well, today is Wednesday, August the 13th. Today is stage one of the Tour of Utah 2008. Today's stage starts in Nephi. Nephi is smack dab in the middle of the state of Utah, right off I-15, and then heads east and does sort of a round trip for 102 miles or 164 kilometers, for those of you who are following on the metric scale, and about 5,000 feet of climbing on today's route. Three intermediate sprints along the way, two feed zones, and once again on the phone, Noreen Godfrey from Land Rover Orbea. Hi, Noreen. How's it going today?
Hey, Dave. How's it going with you?
It's excellent. Thanks. So how'd it go out there on the road today? Good stuff? Bad stuff? What was the day like?
Oh, today was good and bad. Today was really excellent. We captured the Young Rider jersey, what we were aiming for.
Oh, so tell me about that. So who's in the Young Rider jersey?
Ryan Anderson. He is one of our riders from Canada. He is 21 years old, and he is now the leader of the Young Rider competition, which is U23, 22 years of age and younger.
Wow, that is fantastic. And so how did things go out there on the road today? I know that there were a couple of breakaways, and just give me sort of a sense of what the day was like.
Today was hot, and it was going to be long. And so we rolled out, and I was given the guys instructions that there's 177 riders out there, but our race consisted of 10 riders, which is the U23 guys, and we had to pay attention to those guys in particular. And so about 10 miles into it, a break went, and that was the break that pretty much stayed away for the entire day. There were four riders at the front, Successful Living, Utah All-Stars had a guy up there, Garmin Chipotle had a guy up there, and I can't remember who the fourth team was that was up there. And it was great for us because they were all of the older set, and so we just had to chill out and bide our time in the peloton.
And so when you said that there were just a few riders that you were really keying on, who would you say are probably the biggest competition for the best young rider jersey?
Oh my God, they're all big competition. but our two primary targets are the two Garmin Chipotle kids, Tom Peterson and Peter Steven, I think is his last name. They are both well seasoned athletes.
Well, Tom Peterson, if I'm not mistaken, Tom Peterson was one of the best young riders in the Tour of California a couple of years ago, wasn't he?
You got it.
Yeah, so he is really strong. And like you said, a lot of experience in the pro peloton.
They come to play.
Yeah, no kidding. So today's race was won by a Garmin Chipotle rider, wasn't it?
Yes, it was run by Jason Donald. We were lucky that he was in the break, and that meant Garmin didn't put the hammer down and chase hard. So we got to kind of sit in and watch the action and just kind of chill out and get ready for tomorrow's stage.
Wow. So any bad news out on the road today?
Yes, there was a big accident just 1K before the King of the Mountain, and a lot of riders went down, and I lost one of my endurance riders. So many riders went down. We were trying to do wheel changes, and we couldn't get to him in time, and he got time cut.
Wow. And so who was that?
Logan Hunt. He's from Auckland, New Zealand.
So that's not only a big disappointment for him, but for the team as well.
Exactly. We're down to five now. Because coming into this, we were one rider down already as we lost Roman Van Uden, who was one of our key players, to a broken collarbone, like the day we were leaving for Utah.
Now, how does this affect your strategy then? Because, you know, you've got the rest of the week to go, and to lose an endurance rider, that definitely has to affect your overall strategy as you sort of direct the team going forward this week.
We have to be more conservative now, because instead of having seven riders, we have five, and which means I can't burn all the matches, meaning have two extra riders riding hard. I have to be very careful of what breaks we go with, so we keep keep the guys intact. I lost two key players.
Yeah, sounds like it. So let's look forward to tomorrow. Tomorrow's kind of a tough one. There's a couple of big climbs in there. Three King of the Mountains climbs, almost 10,500 feet of climbing over 85 miles. When you go out and you've got a stage like this, do you have the opportunity to preview it, to drive it, or is it something that you guys unfortunately have to go into blindly?
We were here early enough to preview the courses simply because of my job. I wasn't allowed to leave early.
Hmm.
So we're going into this blind, but we have course maps and profiles in which we review. And so we rely on that, and we rely on the commissaire's radio telling us what's up ahead. And I relay that to my riders.
Yeah, and now for me, living here, I've driven parts of this course. I've ridden parts of tomorrow's course, and it's tough. There are some long climbs. There are some steep climbs. What is it that you guys are looking to do tomorrow?
What's our game plan?
Yeah.
Our game plan is one, to survive. we're holding the Young Riders jersey right now, but I'm expecting it to lose the jersey because our sprinter has it, and these climbs are going to be pretty steep. And I have my key rider, who is a climber, and he is to watch the Garmin-Chipotle team and go with them. And so hopefully we can transfer the jersey from one Land Rover or bad team guy to another.
Who is that? Who should we be watching tomorrow from your team?
Dave Volkens.
Excellent.
He's another Canadian rider.
Okay. Well, we wish him a lot of luck tomorrow and wish you a lot of luck, Team Mom. I know you've got a busy evening still ahead of you. So thanks a lot for spending the time with us, and we will check in with you again tomorrow. Good luck tomorrow.
Thank you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. So some exciting stuff going on there for Team Land Rover Orbea. We will be back with Noreen again tomorrow. And as I mentioned, I will be joining her in the team car for at least one of the stages of this year's Tour of Utah. And I'm really looking forward to that. Hopefully be able to help her out there because, you know, she's just this one-armed paper hanger out there on the road for Team Land Rover Orbea, and it would be great to be able to help her out while she's on the road. So good luck to the team, and good luck to Noreen. We will be back again tomorrow with more from the Tour of Utah and Team Land Rover Orbea. Well, last week, the Outdoor Retailer Summer Market Trade Show took place, and you may recall that I brought you some coverage about 6 months ago from the Outdoor Retailer Winter Market. Now, admittedly, Outdoor Retailer is one of these trade shows that really only skirts the perimeter of the cycling industry. There's a lot of clothing manufacturers and footwear manufacturers, climbing equipment manufacturers, and of course, the typical nutrition, hydration companies are there as well. But I went searching for just a couple of companies whose products I thought you might find interesting, and I picked up a couple of interviews along the way. So here are three interviews back to back to back from this year's Outdoor Retailer Summer Market Trade Show. I hope you enjoy. I'm with Brian Consul. He's from Extreme Sports ID. Tell me what your product is, because I'm sure you're the inventor of it, and you have a great way of explaining it.
Extreme Sports ID is a interactive emergency identification wristband. Very simple, very inexpensive, Each Extreme Sports ID has an 8-digit unique ID number on it and a toll-free telephone number. So what a person does, they're retail ready, is they, when they purchase Extreme Sports ID for $8, they register the unique ID, then all their information, their name, their emergency contacts, their medical provider, their doctor, any allergies, any medications, any medical alerts. There's also a feature on there called Where Am I? And what that is if you're going out for a bike ride, going out for a run, you log in your route and you click submit and it shoots an email notifying your emergency contacts. This is where you're going to be in case anything ever happens. It's just a backup plan. So again, simple. It's a Livestrong style bracelet. We are in camouflage color, nice and cool. And it's a great product.
So how do you envision it being used other than, for instance, you want to let your friends know where you're going, you want to let your wife or your husband know that you've gone on this one trail. If you don't come back at time, they know where you are.
Right.
Let's say I'm out. This never happened to me, of course. I fall. I'm injured. And an emergency responder comes up. What do you expect to happen then?
Well, emergency responders are trained to look for wristbands, look for necklaces, look for ankle identifications. And we do have a medical sign on the wristband. So they would, and they understand by looking at it, you call the toll-free number. As soon as they do, you're prompted to enter the unique ID number. And then from there, it's press 1 for the person's name, press 2 for the emergency contacts, press 3 for any alerts, medications, press 4 for the medical provider information. So that information is right there, the information that they need to know to take care of you. And that's why we designed this.
Now, we registered me just a couple of minutes ago, and then we called the 800 number. We put the number in. It said my name. It spelled my name. And then it would go through any of those other crucial pieces of information that an emergency responder would need. Now, you said that the band, again, it looks just like a Livestrong band, but it's sort of camouflage colors. It's $8. But we've talked on the show about other products before that have an annual fee. Is that $8 forever?
$8 is not forever. $8 includes your first year service. It's $5 annually. It's nothing.
That's pretty cheap insurance, wouldn't you say?
I do. I would. It's high tech, too. It's a sophisticated product for $5.
And what prompted you to come up with the idea?
Interesting. I'm a triathlete, and I was actually surfing in Maui for my business partner's 40th birthday this past November, and I paddled into a wave that was a little too big for my abilities, and I went for the what they call the wash cycle, end over end over end. And when I popped up, I thought, boy, what if something happens to me? What would these guys know what to do? You know, good friends of mine. That and a good friend of mine who was out in the water with us the previous June had actually been hit by a car on his bicycle, and he was a John Doe for over 24 hours in the hospital. And so it really got me thinking, and I wanted something simple. There are other products out there. You need to order them online. And I just thought, boy, I'm just not that person. I want something I can buy right at the counter.
So you're putting these in retailers. They'll be $8 each. Where can people find out more information about the product?
You can definitely go to our website, which is www.extremesportsid.com. Also in bike shops, in running stores. We're really getting out there fast. We're in a few of the top 100 bike shops in the country. Fleet Feet running stores are carrying us across the country. And again, go to our website, extremesportsid.com.
And that's extreme without the E. One thing I was just thinking as we were talking, I remember when my daughter was 4, we took a trip. We were in Washington, D.C., and we went to the zoo, and I thought, wow, it's going to be really busy. You know, what if we get separated? And I remember putting a note in her pocket. I could really see this being really helpful for kids as well.
Absolutely. In fact, we have our kids' version, which I would say it fits down to about a 3-year-old. Probably ranges between a 3 to a 9-year-old. And interesting, we came out with them, and I put a dozen in a bike shop just as a trial. They lasted one day. One lady came in. She purchased all 12 of them for her son's birthday party and gave them out as party favors because they saw it as, boy, if I go to Disneyland, if I go to the zoo, to the lake, I mean, kids get lost. And here at their, just, they're wearing an ID that if something happens, it's got a telephone number on it, and it gives 3 emergency contacts instantly. So
that's a great concept and as I said earlier, really cheap insurance. Yeah. Thanks so much for spending the time today. Good luck.
Thank you.
I'm with Gina. Gina is the marketing manager for Polar, and everybody knows Polar, probably the most well-known heart rate monitor company, bar none. But you guys have a new product. Tell me about this.
Sure. Our new product is the RS800CX Training Management System. It's really our hero product. It's probably the most versatile, most diverse product, most gives you the most functionality and the amount of feedback that you could ever want in a training management system. It operates on a wrist unit that's the RS800CX, and then depending upon what your active pursuit is, you would mix and match and accessorize it accordingly. So if you're, you know, into mountain biking, if you're into running, you could really mix and match to really pair up to what you like to do. It works with GPS, our G3 GPS sensor. It'll give you mapping. And then post-workout, you can go and download, see, work with Google Earth or any other type of mapping software. And it'll tell you and show you your route. But the cool thing about it is it's also going to show you what heart rate zone you were in during your ride or during your run. And you'll actually have this visual representation of your exertion and your performance against the terrain and the type of route that you took that particular day. If you're a runner, you can also pair it with our S3 stride sensor, and that's going to give you some unique features like running cadence and stride length. Those are two real key performance indicators that's going to help you to get faster and also to make you a more efficient runner. If you're into biking, it now works with our CS speed or cadence sensor, and with that, it'll give you that data, and you can have, you can go from a run to a bike, go from a bike to a run, whatever you want to do on that given day.
So for those of you that are triathletes, you have the opportunity. You're wearing the same wrist unit. You're wearing the same heart rate monitor. You get off your bike, and then you get on your shoes, and you're using the same unit, and all that data is all going to be in one place.
Yes, that's correct. And what you can do is also combine the files. So again, after workout, you can see what your entire performance was during that entire workout, or you can separate it out and just drill into the run or drill into the ride.
Now, Polar also includes PC software so that you can put that data right into your PC. What are you going to get in that software?
Our Pro Trainer 5 software, it's a really diverse software platform. You can take and actually create various different workouts and then upload 21 different workouts to the RS800CX wrist unit, and it actually will function as your coach, and it'll step you through your run or your ride, tell you to pick it up, slow it down, move on into the next zone. It's also going to give you the route profiling. You can analyze different workouts. I keep saying, like, it's almost like an English muffin in the sense that you can dive into all the nooks and crannies as you want, and you can get lost in it, or you can just stay very high level. It's compatible with most of your premier training softwares on the market, like training services rather, like Training Peaks. So again, giving you that functionality and the versatility that you would expect from Polar.
So you've got the ability through Training Peaks, Cycling Peaks, to upload to your real coach, and then take the workouts that he or she gives you, put them right into the RS800CX, and then it becomes your virtual coach.
Yes, that is exactly correct.
Wow. What else should people know about the product, and what really makes it revolutionary when you compare it to maybe some of your competitors?
I think it's the styling. I think it's a watch that you would be proud to wear, not just on your workout, but to the office. I think taking the mapping and bringing it to that next level and make it relatable to what your performance was. And then lastly, the multi-sensor functionality. It's something that, again, we're trying to understand the needs of our consumers and then deliver on the heritage of innovation that Polar is known for.
And don't forget the English muffin software.
Yes.
Where can people find more information?
This is a brand new product. It's not on our website yet, but it will be. You'd want to go to polarusa.com. And all the information about this and our other new products will be there, say, after September 1.
And when do you expect that it will be available so that consumers can go out and buy it?
Safe bet would be the end of September, early October.
Very good. Thanks so much, and good luck at the show.
Thank you so much, David.
Well, you wouldn't think a battery company would make me stop and do an interview, but this one did. I'm talking to Craig Meyer. Craig is a global director of marketing for lighting products for Energizer. And the reason I stopped by, a lot of us have a lot of gadgets that we carry with us, whether it's cycling or hiking or whatever it is we're doing just in our daily lives. Battery life becomes an issue with a lot of these newer digital products. But you guys have a product that can help us with our battery life. Tell me about that.
Absolutely. Thanks, David. First of all, appreciate your time today. Energizer, always leading edge from an innovation perspective. We came out 50 years ago with the alkaline battery. About 15 years ago, we introduced the Energizer lithium series. We were the only company to have AA and AAA lithium cells. The benefit to all of us is that in today's high-tech devices, a little higher drain, what we have is a battery that'll give you anywhere from 4 to 8 times the performance in things like digital still cameras or other high-tech devices. The Energizer lithium, as we said, is one that is AA base, so it's in the same socket size that you're going to have in most of your high-tech devices. And also for those lighter weight applications, lithium is 33% lighter than your standard alkaline battery. So if you're in an application where biking or transporting things like rock climbing backpacks, this is, again, a consumer benefit. We're always looking to add value to those consumer applications.
So as an example of the weight, Craig handed me a 4-pack of AA's in alkaline and a 4-pack of AA's in lithium. And what did I say?
Wow.
That's what I said.
I can tell the difference. And just think about that. If you can feel it in your hand over time, that's going to be a big difference or benefit when you take that into other elements of gear. Because all of us carry multiple devices that have, you know, sockets. So whether it's flashlights or whether it's other recording devices like what you just pulled out of your pocket, that's the difference.
And one of the reasons I stopped by was because I was mentioning that last weekend, did a 100-mile ride, had a little handlebar-mounted camera, and was surprised at the lack of battery life I was able to get out of the alkalines. And I was getting less than an hour. Estimating, what should I get with a lithium?
You're going to get, depending on what your device type is and drain, in a digital still camera, it's going to be between 4 and 8 times. If it's the MPEG video that you have here, probably similar for that type of device.
And what about price difference? Because obviously if we're going to get more life, it's probably going to cost a little more.
Right. There's generally about a 2 to 2.5 time price differential, but that's greatly offset by the performance.
Much better return on investment for your battery dollar.
That's what it's all about. Energizer's always trying to bring it back to the consumer and make their lives easier and also stay one step ahead from an innovation perspective.
Now, we were also talking that the one caution you might have is perhaps for a traveler, what they can do, where they can put their batteries when they get on an airplane.
Yeah, just, you know, the FAA has stated you can bring lithium batteries on board, but just make sure you don't put them in your check baggage, put them in your carry-on baggage. That's all it is. And try to keep them, you know, if you can, either in the device or the original packaging. No issues at all.
And as we were also talking, in 2 weeks I'm traveling, going overseas to do a listener tour in the French Alps. Something I can get overseas as well?
Absolutely. They are in global distribution. All the major retailers like our lithium product. They've been driving growth for them, but really they're about consumers as well. So, yes, whether you're shopping abroad or here domestically, you can find Energizer lithium batteries.
Great. Craig, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate the time today, David.
So there you go, a couple of interviews from this year's Outdoor Retailer Summer Market, as well as our interviews with Noreen Godfrey from Team Land Rover Orbea from the 2008 Tour of Utah. We will be back again tomorrow with another update from the Tour of Utah. I look forward to talking to you at that time. In the meantime, we're going to close out with our usual opening music, and that is Happy by Jimmy Bratcher. And of course, the song comes to us, as always, from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com.
fredcast.com. I'll be back with you again tomorrow for another episode of the Fredcast and our special tour of Utah coverage from the perspective of Team Land Rover Orbea. But between this show and the next, enjoy Jimmy Bratcher's music. But most of all, enjoy the ride.